Hello, my name is Edgar King and I'm the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
Yeah, Jesus, you're so, so good. You are so, 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 so good. And we love you. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you. We lay ourselves down to say you are worthy. And you have been good, Jesus, and you will continue to be good. God, we just thank you for this precious time of worship. We just thank you that our worship can continue. We just thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for your power. We just don't want to leave this moment, Jesus. We just want to stay with you here. And thank you that we can. Thank you that all our lives you've been faithful. That all our lives you've been so, so good. And Jesus, we declare with every breath we are able, we will sing of your goodness, Jesus. Oh, Allah, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come, more of you, more of you. We love your presence, Jesus. Jesus, come, more, 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 more. Settle on us, Lord. Settle on us in a new way, Jesus. Ooh. It's hearing the words, I will not fear, for you are with me. So God, even when we are fearing, even when we're anxious, even when we're burdened, you are good. And we declare you are good. And good is more than our circumstances. Good is you, Jesus. And you are and will always be and have always been good. Oh, Allah, Jesus, come. Come. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Jesus. More of you. More of you. While we're in this form of worship, we can also worship God with our gifts. We can worship God with our gifts, with our singing, with our praising Him, with our dancing, and also through giving Him what we have, giving of our finances to bless His church, to bless His work. And so we just invite you to that now. Just stay in this mode of worship, but you are invited to give. It's an invitation, and you are welcome. We have a brown box at the back, and you can give there. You can also give on M-Pesa, and our till number will be on the screen and on the projectors now. Jesus, we love you, and we give you everything we have. Stir our hearts to give, Jesus. Stir our hearts to give of our time, of our lives, of our relationships, of our finances, Jesus, because we want all of you. All of you is what we want. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so, so much. You may have your seats. Well, good morning again. And it's just so so amazing to be in this place where God just meets us and just comes to where we are. And I believe he wants to meet us where we are today. I believe he wants to meet you wherever you are, whatever you feel, whatever you've done. Just enter in right from now, because he's with you. He wants to be with you. Don't allow anything that's happened during the week or anything that has happened to come in and to just make you feel that you're not welcome. You are so welcome to the table. You are so welcome to be with Jesus. He wants you. He loves you. He's with you. And we've been looking at where Jesus is. In this series, we've been looking at the places that we can find Jesus. We've been looking at the accounts of Jesus' life and the different places that we can find Jesus and what he was doing and how he related and how he acted. And it's been a really, really cool series. Today, I want us to speak about how we can find Jesus one-on-one. How we can find Jesus one-on-one. Because there's many accounts that we read of Jesus' life where he is meeting with people one-on-one. He's stopping for one person and spending time with them. And it was really interesting last week to hear the message Pastor Edgar gave us on being outside of this community and being in the world and being in the different places that Jesus would go. Because we found that sometimes we would meet Jesus in places we wouldn't expect. We would find that we can meet Jesus just in the marketplace. Jesus was just stopping in the marketplace, talking to different people. We can find Jesus at parties. We can find Jesus in these different places out in the world. And even in those places, we can stop for one person and have a conversation with them like Jesus did. And it reminded me of a story from a few years back where I was sitting in a coffee shop and I was really just asking God, you know, what is it to know you out here? What is it to know you outside of church? What is it to know you in the community? And how can I be a part of what you want to do today, Jesus? And when we pray those things, we never really know what to expect. We never really know what God will do. And I'm sitting drinking my coffee thinking, this is quite quiet. It's normal. Everything's fine. I'd just taken the coffee at the counter from a nice lady. Didn't really think that anything significant would happen. And as I was sitting there, I felt this sense of something about this lady. I felt like God was saying to me, that lady that served you coffee, she really wants to go to university, and she doesn't feel like she can. And suddenly, the coffee is put down, and I'm like, wee, okay, now what do I do, you know? And it's that funny thing of we can want Jesus in that way, but then it's training our flesh to say, oh, well, now what do I do with this? Because I didn't really maybe expect that something, that God would tell me something like that. And we should expect, but I didn't. And I was going, okay, so what do you want me to do? And I kind of sat for a while, and it was just really strong on my heart, and I felt like God said, I want you to tell her. So I'm thinking now, she's over there serving coffee, I'm here, I wouldn't be going back for anything, how will I do that? So I actually walked out. I actually finished my coffee, and I left. And as I was walking down the street, I felt this immense sadness in my heart. And it wasn't even from me, because I was almost like, oof, wait, maybe that was just my head, I don't know what it was, but I kind of knew it was God, really. And I felt this sadness, and it was like the Holy Spirit in me, because we know that when we know Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. He was grieving for this lady. He wanted her to know that he knew her and that he loved her and that he cared about her. And it was so strong, and the grief was so strong, and it wasn't like God was forcing me. I just found my heart wanted to just turn back and go and find her again. So I went back into the coffee shop, and I went straight up to the lady. She wasn't serving anybody at the time. And I just said, hi, I don't know how this will sound to you, but I am a Christian, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe God talks to us. And while I was sitting there, I felt like God said to me that you want to go to university, and you don't feel like you can, and he really wants to encourage you, and if it's okay, I could pray for that. And her eyes just filled with tears. And she just said, how did you know that? How did you know that I want to go to university and I don't feel like I can? I said, well, like I said, it's this thing where, you know, we believe that God is alive, Jesus is alive today, and he talks to us. And I felt that he told me that for you. And she said, well, she said, I don't know what to think of that right now. And she was still, you know, she was nearly crying. I said, okay. I said, I understand you're on shift. She said, can we meet after? And without prolonging the story too much, I went there after and she wasn't there. And I then went back a few days later and she said that it was really amazing, but she was just scared and she didn't know how to cope with what she'd heard, but she was glad that I told her. I said, that's okay. That's okay. And I left. And I really just feel like some of us can feel like that sometimes. Like we don't know how to cope with how much God knows us and how intimately he loves us and how much he wants to know us. And I believe that there's enough people in the body of Christ that lady is taken care of. I didn't feel I was to do any more there. And some of the things I did there, maybe I could learn, you know? It wasn't perfect, but I felt like God wanted me to share the story, even though it's a bit vulnerable, because it's maybe what some of us feel like. And I believe that God is ministering to her and doing what only he can do for her. And I played my part. But the point that I am trying to make is this feeling of, how does God know me like that? Like, how can I cope with the level he knows me? How can I cope with how much he loves me? Why would God even want to talk to me to that level? And I wonder if some of the people that Jesus met one-on-one felt like that. I wonder if some of them felt like, why, who is this man? And how does he know me? So what I wanted to do today is go through the two-way conversation. Go through who Jesus is so that we can understand more why he wants to talk to us and how he knows us. Talk about who we are to him and then how that relates, and then look at some examples. So that's the way I'm kind of seeing that the talk will go to today. If God changes it up, that's good. I hope I'm ready for that. So yeah, let's just pray and get ready. Yeah. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And Jesus, I lay this talk before you and I lay everything that you've put on my heart before you. And I ask that you would lead, Jesus, that you would be having this conversation with us today, because we know you are. But we just pray for that level of intimacy and of presence that only you can give, Jesus. So come, Lord, we are ready. We are ready, Jesus. We're expectant to understand you and more of you. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So when Jesus was coming into the world, there was a guy called John who knew Jesus and who began to follow him and knew about him. And he wrote one of the accounts of Jesus' life that we can read about. And it's really amazing the way he starts writing his account, because he goes way back to the beginning. He doesn't just talk about the Jesus that he met and how he met him on that day. At the beginning of the account of Jesus' life, he goes way back to the beginning. And he calls Jesus an interesting word, which we're going to read about, but he calls him the Word. The Word. The Word of God. And he talks about where he was. And Jesus is referred to that in another point in the Bible. He's referred to as the Word of God. And so we're just going to read what John says about where Jesus was right in the beginning and who he is, so that we can understand who he is to us and how much he knows and loves us. So John 1, 1 to 3, the very first thing he writes, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So Jesus has known us all that time. It goes on to say that the Word became flesh, and that's the Jesus that we read about, the Word becoming flesh, but the Word was with God in the beginning, and not one thing was created except through him. So when we realize that, when we realize that the Jesus that we can talk to, the Jesus that these people met in the Bible, was the Word that had been there from the beginning, it enables us to understand more about who he is and why he cares, and why, when we read about his accounts with people, he was so compassionate and loving towards them, because he knew them from the beginning of time. Who are we? So there's a book called Ephesians, and in the Bible, and it's the Message translation that I want us to read today, and it's just one verse, but it's again the first chapter of this book. And this book is very encouraging. The book of Ephesians is a very encouraging book about who we are in God, who we are in Jesus. And so in the very first chapter again, it says this, Ephesians 1:4, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. He had us in mind long before the foundations of the world. That's who we are to him. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. By his love, not by works, not by things that we have or haven't done, by his love. And I sometimes think that when we meet Jesus, when we have those encounters with Jesus and we feel that love, that was his intention from the beginning. He had us as the focus of his love and attention. That's who we are. And so through this, we can relate to God, knowing who he is and where he was when we were formed, and knowing who we were from the very beginning. And in Psalm 139, this guy called David, who knew God really, really well and wrote a lot of expressive love songs and worship songs to him in this book. In Psalm 139, 1-4, we read about the relation between these two people, between the God who knew us from the beginning of the world and us. And it says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it, Lord. Jesus knows what we are going to say, even before we say it. Why? Because he was there from the foundations of the world, and he chose us. And he knows everything about us, and he chooses to love us. Sometimes I really struggle, the things I know about myself, the things, the attitudes that I can have, the different feelings that I can have that I know aren't good. And I think, how can you see this, God, and you love me? How can you see this? And you even know what I'm going to say before I say it. You know when I say something that isn't glorifying you. You knew that before, and you still died for me. How? And with that, we can enter conversation. With that knowledge, we can enter conversation in a deeper way. In the accounts we have of Jesus' life, we read about him meeting some very unusual people one-on-one. People that you would think, why would Jesus stop for that person? But Jesus is no respecter of persons. Jesus loves everybody equally and knows us and wants us. We've talked recently here about this woman at the well. So there was a well that Jesus went to drink some water, to draw some water, and he found a woman there, and she was a Samaritan woman, and Jesus was a Jew. And in those days, you wouldn't find them talking to each other much, especially a man and a woman. But Jesus stopped for her, and Jesus spoke to her, and she didn't know at the beginning who Jesus was. But she knew, from what we read, she knew that he loved her. And he answered so many questions she had about worship, about being you know, Jewish, and how can we worship in this new day that's coming, and how can we as Samaritans worship, and all these different things she asked. And she was listened to. Jesus stopped for her. He didn't say, sorry, lady, those are too many questions, I have to go over there now. He stopped. And many times in the Bible, we read about Jesus stopping for people. We read about Jesus being in the middle of something and then suddenly saying, no, you're more important. And I think that's what God's inviting us to today. First of all, to realize that we are important enough to Jesus that we can stop and talk to him and we can hear him speak to us. But also to then take that out there and even keep it in here and talk to each other the way Jesus spoke, the way Jesus listened and stopped and cared. And the Holy Spirit is our enabler. He's the one who helps us with that. There's another man called Nicodemus. And he was a guy who they called in those days Pharisees. And he studied the law of God a lot. He studied the law, the Old Testament to us. And he knew a lot of things. He was very knowledgeable. But he completely missed that before him was Jesus, the one that had been written about in those books. And so he starts asking Jesus questions. We hear today about, I've been born again. And this was the thing that really confused this guy Nicodemus. He was like, so how can I be born again? I'm already born, I'm an old man. How can I go back into my mother's stomach? What are you requiring of us? And Jesus could have said, you know, that's a bit of a silly question. You know, surely you know I don't mean that, or whatever he may have said. But instead, he sat down and he said, okay, this is what I'm meaning. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him could have a new life. That's what I'm talking about, being born again, a new life. And this guy's sitting there going, oh. And I'm sure he was thinking, why is he stopping to listen to me? You know, and why is he not annoyed that I'm challenging him? Why is he caring for me? Why is he stopping? And I think it's an encouragement to us as well when we know somebody who thinks something different to us. We can still sit and have those kind of conversations Jesus had with that one person. We can say, okay. And we can invite Jesus into that and say, so Jesus, what are you saying to this person? How can I speak through you to them? How can I have your patience? How can I have your love? How can I have your care? Because it's such a powerful way of meeting with people, and it blesses us too. There's also a guy called Zacchaeus, and Jesus asked him one day to go to his house, and that sounds normal until we realize that Zacchaeus was a tax collector who collected people's money, and there was sort of things about that maybe he was dishonest with money, and it's sort of, the Bible portrays him as maybe people didn't really like him. Maybe there were reasons for people to not really like him. But Jesus went to his house and spent time with him. And in that time, we never actually read what Jesus said, and sometimes one-on-one, you can just be with somebody. You can just be with them. You can just drink coffee with them. You can just be in their presence and love on them. Sometimes we're too hung up on things or too emotional to speak. But Jesus was there, and we don't read what he says, but we read the effect of his presence with that man. Suddenly he turns around and says, you know what, Jesus? I want to just sell half of my belongings and give to the poor. And people were amazed. People said, how did this man change so quickly, just being in the presence of Jesus? And we can be in that presence today. We have been, and we are, and we, of course, we know that. But I've always known that, and it's only recently that I've actually realized Jesus really, really is interested in one-on-one conversations with us. It's been a really strange few months for me learning about that, because I've sort of come to times lately where I've had quite a lot of doubt about different areas in my life and even about things God has said. And I've been sort of sitting, sort of just going, oh, I don't know what to do about this. And one day I just got this sense, kind of like the sense I had in the coffee house, this kind of, there's somebody talking to me, there's something coming into my mind or my heart that's not from me. And it's good. And when you know it's good, you know it's Jesus. And it was like this sense of God saying, why don't you talk to me about that? And I sort of almost laughed. I was like, oh, yeah. Why don't I talk to you about that? I don't know. You know, like I've been praying for other things. I've been praying for all the different things in the world and in this church and with family at home. But why have I not talked to you about why I'm doubting? Do I think you don't care? Do I think you don't listen? And so I started, it felt a bit weird, but I started like actually just talking to him like I would to somebody next to me about, well, I feel this and I'm not sure about this. And I think the doubt goes back to this time when that happened. And it actually really changed me. And I actually then sat and listened and said, Jesus, is there anything you want to say in response to that? And I got some kind of really strong senses and words of his goodness and that he's going to change things and that he isn't this person who can't be trusted, that I can trust him, I don't have to doubt. And it just is amazing to realize God wants to have that one-on-one conversation with you. And it's taught me so much. Anytime I'm now in a situation like that, I'm trying to train myself and say, okay, this happened. Now, Jesus, I'm going to talk to you before I talk to anybody else. And I'm saying that like I do it every time and I don't. I'm still learning. I'm not getting that right every time, but the times when I remember, it's been so impactful and so helpful. And it's for everybody. When we receive Jesus and have the Holy Spirit in us, it's for everybody. We can have those kind of one-on-one conversations with Jesus. And sometimes it will just be you speaking. Sometimes you'll just be speaking and you'll just be waiting for him to answer. And sometimes he'll answer really quickly. And sometimes you may have to wait a while and just be with him and just say, okay, Jesus, thank you for your presence, and acknowledge his presence. And I'm sure many of us have had those kind of conversations with Jesus and have those encounters that have changed us. And I think God's inviting us into more of that, especially with this new year and with the expectations we have and the dreams and visions that we have. Let's talk to God about those before we go too far along. I'm sure we are, but let's have those kind of conversations with Jesus regularly, talking about what he's doing and what he's saying, and asking him to help us with doubt, with fear, with anger. Even anger, Jesus wants to hear, because he knows it anyway. He knew us from the beginning of the world, and he wants to help us. That's who he is. And the thing that's really amazing is when we do this with each other, we can extend it to other people. We can have those conversations like Jesus had with other people. And we can see their lives changed and transformed in our lives too. We can have meaningful conversations with people and stop for them. Even people that maybe have hurt us. That's where it gets a bit tricky now. Even when people have hurt us and they've upset us. And the one account that I really felt we should actually read together today, not just me talk about it, but actually read, is this conversation Jesus had with Peter after Jesus had been raised to life from the dead. And before Jesus died, he told Peter, "You will deny me 3 times." And Peter didn't believe him. Peter was a friend of Jesus, and he had walked with Jesus. He was one of the disciples, we may know them as. And he had been walking with Jesus, and Jesus said, "You will deny me." And he said, "I couldn't. I love you, Lord, I couldn't." But then Jesus goes and he gets arrested first. And before he's about to be crucified, there's all these people looking for Jesus' friends. And who knows what they were going to do to them, but they were looking for them. And Peter got scared and he said, "No, I don't know you, Jesus." Then again, he said to somebody else, "No, I don't know Jesus. No, I don't know Jesus." And Jesus knew all of this. He was there. And when he was raised back to life, he was with Peter again. He was with all of his friends, all of his disciples. And they had breakfast together. And then afterwards, we read this account in John again of Jesus talking to Peter. Now, if you were Jesus, if you had watched your friend betray or deny you like that, I'm getting a bit like, it's a good thing, but I'm just feeling like God's really on this, and so my words are failing me slightly, but it's a good thing. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. So if your friend has denied you, if your friend has said they don't know you right before you're about to be hurt and then killed, what would you say to them when you sit down with them one-on-one? Maybe in a group you could kind of go, okay, let's have breakfast, yes, pass the samaki, Peter, you know. But how would you actually sit down with them one-on-one? What would you feel? What would you say to them? We're going to read about what Jesus said to Peter. So in John 21, 15 to 17, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, his family name, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. A few things I want to pick out from this, although it's just so beautiful, I kind of want to stay there. But the one things I want to pick out are Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? He gave him three opportunities to redeem himself. Why? Because Jesus knew him from the beginning of time and knew that he loved him. And sometimes the things we do, they can be crazy. But Jesus knows what's inside of us, and that's why he set us as the focus of his love from before the foundations of time. He said three times, do you love me? He didn't say, hey, Peter, why did you do this? He didn't say any of that. He knew why. He knew what was going on. He knew the temptation. And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus tells him, feed my lambs. So that's kind of meaning lambs and sheep are referring to like the people of God and the people that Peter was going to minister to and feed with the word of God. Jesus didn't just say, okay, you love me, thank you. He then gave him back his position, and he gave him an even higher calling than he had had before, instantly, because he knew him. And he said, yes, I love you. And he said, okay, tend my sheep. Yes, I love you. And Lord, you know I love you. Why would you say, do you love me? But Jesus asks us questions sometimes to draw out what's really in us. Sometimes questions Jesus asks aren't because he doesn't know. It's a conversation to draw out what he knows is in us. And I just really felt like, gosh, what would our city, what would the city of Nakuru, what would the different places we come from in Kenya, what would the world look like if we had those conversations more regularly? What could we change about this next generation, about the people that we're living with, about our neighborhoods, our communities, if we had those kind of conversations now more? If we sat down with people that have hurt us and didn't assume that they really, really meant to. Sometimes the people that hurt us are people that are going through really hard things. And when we remind ourselves of that and say, God, I know that this person's going through something, help me to be compassionate before I talk to them. It can totally change how we are, because Jesus can give us that knowledge of who his people are. Before the beginning of time, he knew, he created these people that we're living around, our friends, our family, our loved ones. And when we can sit down and have those kind of conversations like Jesus had, I believe the change can be huge. And we want that, don't we? We want to change in our relationships with people. We want to become more like Jesus. We want to go where Jesus went. So I'm going to invite the band up as we get ready to close and just have some response time. And yeah, I just really invite you to look into that story with Peter. It's John 21, 15 to 17. But also, I really want to invite us to the place of receiving that ability to converse with Jesus. Receiving that ability. We might be sitting here and thinking, oh, that's not for me. I don't know how I'd do that. Maybe you don't know Jesus, and you're so welcome. Today, we can invite you and lead you to him. You're so welcome. And there will be people at the back that can pray for you at the end, if that's you. But even now in this moment, you can just ask him to speak to you. You can just say, Jesus, I believe, and I'm sorry for the things I've done, and I want you to speak to me. And I love you. And he will. So just as we just play a little bit, I'm just going to pray, and then we're just going to have some time of worship before we share communion, which was also a special meal that Jesus had with the people that he loved. And yeah, I'm just going to pray. And if you feel like you would like to receive that today, if you feel like you would like to receive, God is here, he's present, and he would like to offer you that ability to hear his voice clearer and the ability to speak to him and for him to know you and you can know him in the way that we've read about today. So I'm just going to pray a short prayer as we begin to play, and then we will just see where God goes in the worship time. Yeah. So Jesus, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you know us from way, 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 way before we were ever born. We thank you that we are the focus and the object of your love. And we thank you, Jesus, that like Peter, whatever we've done, you know us and you know our hearts. And Lord, we ask you, just like we sang today, that you would forgive us, that you would have mercy on us. And we thank you that we know you do. When we sing those things, when we pray those things, we're acknowledging that you do and we're asking for it. Thank you, Jesus. We receive your mercy and your love and your forgiveness today. And Jesus, just now, I just release your ability to converse, Lord Jesus, that we would have that same ability that you had to speak to each other and to speak to you, Jesus. We thank you that we are your children, that we are your loved ones. We are the ones you've chosen. And Lord, I just pray for anybody here who feels like, oh, I couldn't have those conversations with Jesus. Lord, we release right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, breakthrough in that area, Lord, that we will hear your voice, that we will come to know you, that we will be able to speak to you about anything and not have this shame and fear that the world tells us we should have. Because before you, when we know you, we are loved, we are chosen, and you want to hear our hearts. But Jesus, come. More of you is what we pray. More of your power, more of your presence. And Lord, all of our lives you've been faithful. All of our lives you've been so good. And so with every breath we are able, we will sing of your goodness. Even if we feel like we've messed up like Peter, we will sing of your goodness in loving us and talking to us like a friend even then. Bless you, Jesus. Come, more of you. More of you, Jesus. More of you. More of you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. More of you. More of your mouth, Jesus, that we would speak the way you spoke. More of your ears, that we would hear the words of the Father. Come, Jesus. More of you, Holy Spirit. You are the enabler. We love you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And so you can just stay where you are, just stay receiving. It feels like God's just doing a lot. So let's just stay, just sit it down and just listening to God. And let's just let the band just sing over us. Thank you, Jesus.
We never have to see his goodness.